All right, so you know how it is, right? When's the last time you actually sat down and like read a privacy policy? It's
Yeah.
like, who does that? They're like those instruction manuals. You just shove them in a drawer and never be seen again.
Right.
But today we're actually going to crack one open, and it's the one from chess.com. You
Ooh.
might be surprised what they're tracking. It's not just, your killer king's gambit.
Exactly. People don't realize, like, even something as, I don't know, seemingly simple as playing chess online, how much data that actually generates.
So, no more hitting that accept button without at least a little bit of thought, right? We're diving deep into this policy, seeing what chess.com is doing with your data, and more importantly, what you can do about it.
This is like digital self-defense, but for your chess game, basically.
I love that. All right, let's just jump right in. The summary of key points section, they make a big deal about never asking for sensitive personal information.
Okay.
But then it got me thinking, like, what even is sensitive in the world of online chess?
Yeah, that's a good point. So it's not just your basic info, like your name, email address. It's going beyond that, right? So we're talking financial information, social security numbers, anything that you really wouldn't want, like, just anyone to have, let alone a website. And I think chess.com saying, we don't want that is a good start. But it's what they do collect, that's where it gets interesting.
Just like they just straight up say, we use your chess stats. And not even just for like matchmaking, which you'd kind of expect,
Yeah.
but for other things.
Well, and this is where it gets a little, I don't know, I guess you could say a little spooky, maybe.
Okay.
Every move you make, every blunder, every time you win or lose on time, all that creates a pattern.
Yeah.
And that data, it doesn't just tell them, how good you are at chess. It can actually reveal how you think strategically. And not just in chess, right?
Yeah.
But potentially in other areas of your life as well. And that kind of information is incredibly valuable, not just for them to, improve their platform,
Yeah.
but for analysis, research, even targeted content.
Okay, so now I'm just imagining like these algorithms predicting my next move in life based on my like queen's pawn opening or something.
Right.
But let's move on to something that, I'll be honest, always makes me a little nervous. Third-party use. Who are these mysterious figures that have access to my data?
It's important to remember that, chess.com, they're not just operating on an island, right? They have to work with various service providers. You've got your payment processors, even those targeted ads that seem to follow you around the web. Those often involve sharing your data, although they say it's, anonymized, de-identified.
Oh, you said often anonymized. Does that mean it's not always anonymous?
Yeah, that's the catch, right? So while they do make efforts to protect your privacy, even this anonymized data, with enough effort, enough data points, it can potentially be, de-anonymized. It's like trying to solve a really complex chess puzzle. It might take time, skill, but it's not impossible. So it's not as secure as, we might hope.
So my digital identity might not be as like hidden away as I thought. That's a little unsettling, to be honest, but I guess it's the price we pay for convenience in the digital age, right?
It is. And that's why, actually going through these policies is so crucial. Because the more you know about what data is being collected, how it's being used, the better equipped you are to actually protect yourself.
So we've had kind of the appetizers here, right? We know they're not like asking for your credit card info via carrier pigeon, I'm assuming.
Right.
But now it's time to get into the main course.
Yeah.
The specific information chess.com is collecting and how they're using it. So are you ready to move on to section two?
Let's do it. Let's get into the
All right,
details.
so time to like roll up our sleeves and dig into the nuts and bolts of what chess.com's actually collecting. This section's called Data in Play, I guess. Kind of fitting.
Right.
They're not like hiding it.
No, they're very upfront about the information they're collecting. And it starts, I guess, as you'd expect, account information. So that's, your email, username, maybe a phone number if you're feeling, generous. But then it gets a little more interesting. They talk about pulling your public chess records from FIDE.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
So like even my games outside of chess.com are fair game.
Yeah, so FIDE, which is the International Chess Federation, they keep kind of like a master database of rated games, right? And chess.com uses that, it says so right here, to get like a more complete picture of your skill level, which on the one hand, I get it. For matchmaking, you want to make sure you're playing people at your level to make it challenging and engaging. But it does highlight how much, like, our digital lives are all interconnected.
Yeah.
Even if you're playing like a physical game of chess, if that gets, you know, recorded, uploaded to FID, it can actually influence your experience on a completely different platform.
Okay, that's maybe a little Big Brother-ish.
It is a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes you wonder how else that data could be used aside from just like, you know, making your games better.
Right.
Which, who knows? But it's there.
Yeah.
So moving on, we've got optional profile information, you know, the About Me section where you can say, you know, I love the Sicilian dragon or whatever. It's worth noting here that even on, you know, what you might think is a niche platform like chess.com, your profile might not be as private as you think.
Okay.
They mentioned that, you know, even people who don't have a chess.com account might be able to see some of that information.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it's in there. So even if you're just there to, you know, play chess, some of your profile info could be kind of floating out there on the internet.
Huh. Well, good to know, I guess. I mean, not really, but...
Right. It's always a good reminder to just be mindful of what you're putting out there, even if you think it's, you know, a pretty contained community. You never really know who's looking or how that info might be used in the future.
Yeah, good point. Okay, let's talk about, you know, the part that I think makes everyone a little nervous. Payment details. It feels like you're handing over the keys to the kingdom or something.
Yeah, it's definitely, you're showing a lot of trust there.
Yeah.
And they do try to address that. They talk about their security measures using industry standard encryption. They say they don't store your full credit card number, all that.
Right.
But it's a point where you're not just trusting chess.com, you're trusting their payment processors as well.
Right. So it's like this chain of trust.
Exactly.
And if one link is weak, then the whole thing kind of falls apart.
Exactly. Yeah. And this isn't unique to chess.com or anything, but it's something to be aware of with any platform, online platform, that you're giving that kind of information to.
Okay, good to know. Now, this next part sounds a little like sci-fi to me.
Yeah.
Usage data. What are they even tracking there and why?
Yeah, so essentially it's about understanding how you use their platform.
Oh.
So what features do you use? How often are you playing? What kind of content are you looking at? It's basically like a digital trail of your activity.
So they know I spend way too long analyzing my blunders after a game.
Maybe. They probably do, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, they use that to improve their services, customize your experience, even target you with, you know, certain content or advertising.
Right.
It's all part of it.
They mention chess statistics again here. They seem really interested in how we play.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. They're collecting data on your openings, your tactical tendencies, you know, how well do you play the end game? How do you manage your clock? It's like having basically a digital chess coach analyzing your every move. Trying to figure out your strengths, weaknesses, all that.
And probably using that to create, like, some unbeatable AI opponent.
Right. Who knows what the future holds? But, you know, for now, it's probably safe to say they're using that to improve their algorithms, make more personalized experience, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Intrigued, but slightly terrified. That's how I feel.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's tackle the, I don't know, the elephant in the room, or I guess the cookie jar on the computer. Cookies.
Cookies.
Not as delicious as they sound, I'm afraid.
No, not in the digital world at least.
That's why every time I think I understand them, a new type pops up.
They can be confusing, but basically, you know, they're small files that websites use to kind of remember who you are, track your activity, personalize your experience, that sort of thing. Chess.com, to their credit, actually breaks it down into different types. So you've got essential cookies. Those are for basic functionality, like letting you log in.
Oh, right.
Functionality cookies. That's for like remembering your preferences, your language settings, stuff like that. And then you've got analytics cookies, which are used to just understand how people are using the site so they can improve it.
Okay, so far so good.
Then you get into, you know, social media cookies that powers those share buttons so you can brag about your chess victories.
Yeah, right.
And then, of course, targeted cookies.
Yeah.
That's for delivering those more relevant ads.
Ah, there it is. That's why I keep seeing chess sets everywhere I go online. I already own five.
Right, exactly. Those targeting cookies, they're following you around the web, building a profile of what you like so the advertisers can show you, you know, things they think you'll be interested in.
Right, right. So, okay, they collect all this data. The big question is, what are they doing with it?
Yeah.
Their list of uses here is longer than a Sicilian dragon game.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Don't get too bogged down in the minutiae. I think the key takeaway here is that your data, it serves multiple purposes on these platforms.
Okay, sure.
Some of them pretty standard, relatively harmless, you know, improving the services, customizing your experience, preventing fraud and abuse, that kind of thing.
Right. That seems reasonable.
They also use it for research and development. So that could be anything from analyzing user data to improve their algorithms, develop new features, maybe even just better understand how people learn and play chess.
That's interesting, actually.
Yeah.
Anything else? And of course, advertising. You know, the more they understand you, your interests, your behavior, the more they can show you relevant ads, which, you know, helps them make money.
Right. So it's that trade-off. We get to use the platform for free or for a lower cost. And in exchange, you know, they collect and utilize some of our data.
Exactly. And that's just kind of the reality of the internet these days. It's good to be aware of that trade-off, make informed decisions about it.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here, but, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, right? Don't we have some say in how our data is used?
Absolutely. And that's actually what we're going to talk about in the next section, how you can actually take some of that control back.
Okay, good. Let's move on to section three then. All right, so we've seen what chess.com's taking from us data-wise, but now I want to, you know, grab my digital shield and sword here. Let's talk about taking back some control, section three. Checkmating your data. Your rights and choices.
Yeah, it's easy to feel like kind of powerless when you see how much is being collected.
Yeah.
But you do have rights, and this section actually lays out how you can access, change, even delete your data.
So it's like calling a take back on some of those digital moves you made.
Exactly, exactly. So first up is just accessing and correcting your information. That's pretty straightforward, right?
Right.
Your data, you should be able to see it.
Right.
They actually have a My Data section right there on the platform that you can go to.
Okay, cool. Very cool. But what about when you want to just like wipe the slate clean, like hit reset on your digital chessboard?
Yeah, they've got you covered there too. The section on canceling and deleting accounts, it's actually surprisingly detailed. They emphasize the option for permanent deletion.
Yeah.
So that means your profile, your games, even, you know, that embarrassing forum post from 2015 gone.
Poof. Digital dusting, that's what I call it. But no, seriously, that's good to know, because some platforms make it like really difficult to actually disappear.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's worth noting, even with permanent deletion, there might be some, you know, anonymized data that they keep for like internal purposes, you know, statistics, that kind of thing.
Right.
But for the most part, it sounds like chess.com at least gives you a way to truly minimize your digital footprint if you want to.
Good to know. And then there are those sections on California privacy rights, the CPRA we talked about.
Right, right, at GDPR. So
if you're in California or the EU, you've got some extra, you know, muscle when it comes to your data.
You do. Those regulations basically give you more control over how your information is collected, how it's used, how it's shared. So definitely worth checking those sections out if they apply to you.
Yeah. Knowledge is power, as they say, especially in the digital world. Okay, so we've gone through the ins and outs of this policy, but like, what does it all mean? What's the, you know, the bigger picture here? Expert speaker, I'm going to turn it over to you for our last section. Game over. The bigger picture and lingering questions.
Yeah, I think this whole deep dive into the chess.com policy, it really just highlights this larger conversation that we're all having about data privacy, right?
Right.
Because even, you know, something that seems as harmless as playing chess online, it generates a surprising amount of information.
Yeah, it really does.
And it's on us to be aware of how that data is being used, you know, for good and for maybe not so good.
Right. It's like this constant give and take, isn't it? Like we get all these personalized services, but at what cost, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no easy answers there, right? But I think just by being informed, asking questions, and then exploring the tools you have, you can start to make more conscious choices about your digital footprint, your digital self.
Yeah, totally. So it's not just about pawns and rooks anymore, is it? It's understanding that all these little moves we make in the digital world, they actually have real world implications.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, a huge thank you to you, expert speaker, for guiding us through this, you know, fascinating and at times slightly unnerving world of chess.com's privacy policy.
My pleasure. It was fun.
And to our listeners, thank you as always for joining us on this little deep dive. We hope you learned something and maybe feel a little more empowered to take control of your digital data. Until next time, play smart, both on and off the board.